And let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35. Sincere obedience was the title I've put on this lesson. Reading through the story here of the Rechabites in chapter 35 just kind of puts that thought in my mind. That here were a group of people that had proven their diligence in obedience to God. Now, there is a story here in Jeremiah 35 that seems unconnected chronologically with what's going on with the storyline in the surrounding chapters. It seems a little bit out of place. And yet, on the other hand, perhaps it's placed there on purpose because of the lesson that it illustrates. The story reminds us of the contrast in attitude between the sons of Jonadab, who obeyed their father, and the Israelites, who had a history of not obeying their heavenly father. So the time frame of this story is going to be somewhere during the reign of Jehoiakim. That's about 600 B.C. or thereabout, though there's not really a date that's given to us here. But we know the Babylonian captivity has already started by this point, and it is in that cloak of sadness that Jeremiah writes this account. Now again, to me it seems a little bit out of place with the storyline that's going on, and yet the story, the purpose of the story is very powerful and very strong. Well, first, the backstory. The Rechabites in this text were descendants of Jonadab. He lived 250 years or thereabout prior to this time. There's just a glimpse of his life back in 2 Kings chapter 10. There's not a lot that's said about him or the Rechabites, but it was Jonadab who helped Jehu rid Israel of the Baal worship in that day. When Jehu was knocking out the Baal worship of the time, Jonadab was there, or Jonadab was there. You know, I'm not sure how to say that. Some say Jonadab, some say Jonadab. You take your choice on that one. So Jonadab, who was the son of Rechab, which is where the Rechabites come from, had set a rule for his people, and that is that they were not to drink wine. Not a lot of explanation given for that, but here was a rule that was given to them. Exactly why he made that rule is really just a matter of speculation. But what we know for sure is that many years later, his descendants were still living by the rule of his father. Okay, already we start seeing the purpose of the story. So Jeremiah here, in his writing, was not trying to, as we're going to read in just a moment, he's not really trying to tempt the Rechabites, you know, to drink wine, but he's using their fidelity as an illustration to others. This is going to turn into a story about loyalty, and about faithfulness and trustworthiness. That's going to be some of the points that stand out in this lesson. But we're going to look at the text. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 35. And we read first about, could we say, the test. Here was the test that was given. Verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jehazaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaziah, and his brothers and all his sons, the whole family of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord and into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, the man of God. It was next to the room of the officials, which was over that of Maaseiah, son of Shallum, the doorkeeper. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family and said to them, drink some wine. Okay, if we don't get lost in all of the hard names of the players in this meeting, here is the test. Here's what's really going on. Here is the test. Wine is set before them to see what they will do. And all of them faithfully remember the command of their father. Now, it must have been hard for this to be remembered for so many years, because as we said, Jonadab was about 250 years before them. And to be dedicated to a command with such, and to be so committed with such clarity and fervency, here that none were willing to drink of that wine. Let's look at the faithful response, verse 6 beginning. But they replied, we do not drink wine, because our forefather Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses or sow seed or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons and daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had vineyards or fields or crops. We have lived in tents, and we have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Armenian armies. So we have remained in Jerusalem. This is the response. First was the test. The wine and the cups were set before them. Drink wine. And they say, no, we can't do that. And they give the reason why. Our forefathers said not to do this, not to drink wine, not to have houses, not to have fields, not to have vineyards. They remember and they know and they remember very well what their forefather had said, what they'd been told. Their lifestyle had been ordered long before. And they've stayed with that plan. They've remembered what they were told. They were reconciled to live a nomadic lifestyle. Maybe it wasn't by choice. Maybe it wasn't by their choice, but it was by their father's choice. But they respected that, and they obeyed that. So the dedication of the Rechabites to submit and obey the command of long ago is impressive. Just think about it for a moment. It's impressive. And so over the years, sometimes it would seem that instructions seem to lose power. People forget or sometimes just simply choose to disobey. But these commands were fully obeyed in every way. That's what the text says. We fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab said. That was their choice. That doesn't just happen. I mean, maybe for a little while, if nobody was really planning it, maybe they would have still not drunk wine or built houses. But we're generations into this now. And they know their reason for not drinking wine and building houses and having fields and vineyards is because of the command their forefather had made. There was a willingness to obey. There was no army forcing obedience. Nobody was standing over them with a sword. They weren't going to be disinherited if they didn't obey or anything else. It was a willing choice to obey. How does that happen? Well, there was leadership involved. There were those who were unwilling to compromise the command that had been given, but instead were willing to lead their families in this lifestyle. And so there was teaching that took place. From the fathers to the sons who became fathers and taught their sons. And this has happened for generations. The command was made known. Parents passed on the way of their clan, and when tempted, they were still able to stand fast. I would find it hard to believe that this is the first temptation they've had in 250 years. I can only imagine that many times during the generations they had been tempted to drink. They'd been tempted to give up the tents and let's build a house and let's just stay in one place. Let's grow a field. Let's have our own field. I can only imagine. But now for generations they've not done that, and they have a reason why, and they know that reason. And even when their life circumstances changed, the Babylonians have invaded the land. They cannot live the nomadic lifestyle they once did. Now they've come to Jerusalem, but they have not forgotten who they are. So life circumstances has not changed who they are. Are we starting to see some powerful points yet? You see where we're going? Remember, these were people who chose to fully obey. That's what the text says. Who's to say that can't be done? I guess I have heard some people say, well, you can't really expect that we're going to do exactly what the Bible says. You don't really think that God expects us to do just what He says? Times have changed. Everything's different now. You've heard the excuses. But there are no excuses given here. When they were tempted with wine, and here are the cups, they're in this back room. Who would know? Who would know if they had a glass of wine? Who would know? But they remained true to what their fathers said. So there's the test. There's the faithful response. And then there is a lesson to Judah. Verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words, declare the Lord? Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine, because they obey their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me. Again and again I have sent my servants, the prophets, to you. And they said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow the gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land I have given you and your fathers, but you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefather gave them, but these people have not obeyed me. Powerful statement by God. Now do we see the contrast. Now do we see the purpose of the story? Who are these Rechabites? How do they even fit into the Bible story? God fits them into the story. That's how they fit in. So God is saying to Israel, when will you learn? How can you not understand? It is the point. They can understand, just like the Rechabites understood their forefathers. They could understand. Jonadab, the earthly father, spoke once to his children. Jonadab spoke once to his children. They heard and they understood and they obeyed. And they continued to obey generations later. God, the Heavenly Father, spoke time and again to Israel. He pleaded with them. He sent prophet after prophet to remind them, to tell them, to teach them of His will. He called on them to repent over and over. But they refused to listen. It wasn't that they couldn't understand. It wasn't that God's message was unclear. They were deliberate in disobedience. The Rechabites obeyed an ancestor that was long since dead, but they respected his word and they submitted to it. And here, God was still speaking to Judah, but they wouldn't listen. They were defiant. They were rejecting God, the maker and the creator of all things. So there was the test. And there was the faithful response from the Rechabites. There was the lesson now to Judah. And then there was the verdict from Jehovah God. Verse 17. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. God's judgment is coming on Judah. And we can see and we can understand why. The Lord used the faithfulness of the Rechabites to their ancestor as a way of highlighting the unfaithfulness of the Jews to God and His law. God had foretold time and again what would happen if they continued to disobey. Over and over, He has said, this is going to be the result of disobedience. And He would send more prophets to tell them, to teach them, to draw them back. God pleaded with them. But now the time has come. I mean, the judgment is here. God had warned them time and again, but they would not listen. So now is the judgment. The Lord will bring disaster on them just as He had foretold the many times before. Disobedience comes at a price. And disobedience to God means one day we will face God in judgment. That's what Judah was having to face. Judgment. And it was their disobedience that stood out. There was the test. There was the faithful response of the Rechabites. There was the lesson to Judah. And the verdict from God, the judgment. But then there was the blessing from God on the Rechabites. Verse 18. Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather, Jonadab, and have followed in his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man serve me." For the Rechabites, there was a brighter prospect that was in view. Because of their faithfulness, God was going to bless them. This was the promise of God from the beginning of time, that those who would listen to Him and submit to Him and respond in faithfulness would be blessed. That's always been the message from God. And that's the message to the Rechabites. because of their faithfulness, because they listened to what their forefather had said, because they were faithful to what he said, God recognized that and is going to bless them. So what is the application? What is the message for us? What does this mean to you and me? When you stop and when you read this chapter slow and you start trying to understand piece by piece how it flows and what the points are, it's a powerful lesson to me. It's a powerful message. We know, or we should know, or we should learn that we can be encouraged by the faithfulness of this ancient clan. We can learn from them. Their dedication and faithfulness is meant to be an inspiration for us. It's recorded here, I'm thinking, more for us than it was for Judah. The judgment's been made on Judah. They could not undo their unfaithfulness. Not at this point. It's a message for us that we can see and understand that God is faithful. And that God sees and He recognizes how we live. He sees our faithfulness or our unfaithfulness. How that even in unfaithfulness, God does not give up easily. He keeps trying. He keeps placing His message before us. He keeps calling. He keeps trying to draw us near. But there will come a day where judgment will be made. And it will be based on what we've done. It'll be based on our choices of life and how we lived. And so it should encourage us to examine our lives to see if we are living according to convictions that come by listening to God, or are we living by our own convictions? We need to look to make sure that we are passing these convictions, not only living these convictions, but passing them on to our children. Because that's what had happened for generations. It is still amazing to me that after 250 years, they are steadfast in their convictions that they do not drink wine, they do not build houses, they do not have fields, they do not have vineyards. And nowhere in the text do I get any kind of inclination that that has ever been questioned in any way. But matter-of-factly, this is what we do because our forefather, Jonadab, said so. And what is God wanting from us? It's the same thing. That we hear what He says, that we submit to it, that we obey, that we are faithful to what He says, that we don't ask questions, that we just do what He says, that we are faithful to what He says. That's all He has wanted from man from the days of Adam and Eve. That's what He has wanted from man. And even today, God continues to call on man to listen to Him and to submit and obey. Nothing's changed. Obedience leads to a place where we stand before God, or stand with God, with no fear. Disobedience leads to separation from Him, or standing outside or away from Him. That's always the case when we sin, when we disobey. We are separated from Him. And for most, it's easier to be separated from God. The choice. Jesus said, "Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Such a simple point. But we can see and understand how it rings true. It is easy to go the way that everyone else goes. But it takes commitment, it takes dedication, to year after year continue in the way of our Heavenly Father. Just like these Rechabites, year after year after year after year had continued in the commands of their forefather, they had done so successfully. And Jehovah God is trying to say to Judah, it was easy to follow me too, because you knew what I wanted. I gave you the commands. I sent the prophets. I pleaded with you to return. God gave every opportunity for faithfulness. He gave more opportunity than what was ever deserved. And it helps me to see and realize just how defiant Judah was. And it should make it easy for us to see how easy it is to be defiant and how we can fall into the same attitude unless we are just so very careful. God will be faithful to us. He will be true to His promises. He always has been. And He will reward when we are faithful to His promises. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He's still calling. The Lord is still calling. Even when we have made poor choices, even when we have stumbled, even when we have fallen down, even when we have been defiant to God, He's still calling. If we will just turn to Him. Are you willing? Are you willing to live for Him, to walk with Him, to obey Him? I trust we will all be. Let's not be careless with our soul. God continues to call. Let's not be careless. If you need to respond to the gospel, we hope you will tonight as we stand and sing.